And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Monday, April the 4th, 2016, 1:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Continue to be joined in studio by Terry Tackett, and as we are each and every Monday at this time, 1:10 to 2 p.m., we're joined by the PAL psychic Lynn White. And remember, she is located at 80 South Liberty Street, number 201 in PAL, Ohio. Email thepalpsychic@gmail.com, and she'll take your calls on anything over the next hour. If you'd like to call in, 740-383-9944. Talk with somebody who's no longer here. Love life, financial future, anything is on the table. 740-383-9944 for the next 46 minutes here. And that's how we'll do it. Lynn, good to see you again.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are things?
Good, thanks. A little cold outside, but made it here.
Well, that's the first question. When's it going to be warm?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, I don't know. I still think we're going to have every season every week. You never know. Is it winter? Is it summer? Is it spring? I was telling my husband, I said, I can't wait for it to normalize out. I think it's so hard on all of our bodies, you know. But, yeah, hopefully soon.
I hope so. Do you have any intuition on when it's going to be?
I don't know. I still think we're going to have two or three more weeks of this before it finally levels out. Probably May. Probably be a little bit chilly, but start on the incline.
We have to wait for May.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a long way off.
Well, 3 weeks. I mean, yes and no. I feel like you blink your eyes and time flies by, so hopefully it's here before we know it.
We'll hope. Yeah. Terry, you seem to be awake this week.
Yeah.
Did you get some sleep last night?
I did.
You did. You slept good.
Yeah.
For the first time
not bad.
In
yeah.
6 months.
For a little, just a lot of stuff going on.
But you're good today.
Good today.
You're good today, yeah, and we're happy about that. Do you have any questions on your agenda?
Nothing really.
I didn't think you would.
Ready to go,
to have a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, in the past few weeks, we've discussed love life, we've discussed holistic medicine, we've done that. Now, so the one we haven't really tackled a whole lot is people who are no longer here and finances. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess the logical question would be, if you can predict finances, why aren't all psychics wealthy?
That is a good question, and I get that question a lot. You know, people ask me. I had a guy contact me from England and wanted to know if I'd want to work with him to bet on horses, and like he would cut profit with me if he won, and all this kind of stuff. I've had some really unusual propositions made to me, but you know, I've never been able to really tackle the like win the lottery, gambling, all of that, and. You know, it used to bother me. A few years ago, I really thought about it, and, you know, that question you asked me, that was a question I had. Why isn't anybody with intuitive abilities rich? Why is that not, like, so popular? And, it came to me that if in this lifetime you're supposed to be rich, it's going to happen to you whether a psychic tells you or not. And if it's in your greater good, somehow you'll find out, whether you ask me, whether you stumble upon it on your own. You know, some people might win the lottery and end up worse than they are right now. It's just whatever's in your life path and your journey during this lifetime, that's what's going to happen to you. So I really believe that that's why I am not able to tap into that. And maybe there's some psychics that are good at that. I don't know, I'd really question that, because you're really messing with fate out there in a pretty direct way. So,
but isn't health and certainly love life, aren't those fate as well?
They're fate, but it's not as, you know, when you're talking about finances, there's people out there that, I knew someone that sold their house to buy apocalypse supplies, and then they asked me about it, when I knew someone else that sold
apocalypse supplies?
Yeah, whether it be food, water,
all of that.
It was like someone in a different country, and they told me that they did it, and I was like, well, wow, you know, it's just, yes, those other things can really impact your life path. However, when you're talking about money and you're talking about gambling, you are really, I mean, there are some major decisions that can be made that affect you and those around you and your family. I don't know. I feel like it's a completely different thing.
Now, wouldn't you think love and health would be more important than money?
For me personally, yes. But for some people, no. It just depends on what your priorities are and what's important to you. Some people live for that money and that power and the control that comes with that. Other people are more...
Anybody running for president like that?
I don't know.
What's your feeling on a public restroom?
That's exactly right. Now, where do you rank them? In your personal life, money,
I was going to ask it this health. Way. Is there one in particular that you like better than another?
What is the ranking?
That I like to read or that's important
to me?
Yeah, given
readings on. That's what I was going to ask.
I kind of like the relationship questions, to tell you the truth. I like the dynamics of how people interact. I don't know. I seem like I can tap into it in... When people ask me questions, it's like I'll get snapshots of my own life. And we've all been through all different circumstances, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter. So when people talk to me, it's like I instantly can go in that spot, whether I was 10 years old or 15 or 25. It's just, I don't know. I feel like I have a better connection. I just feel it. It's different.
Can you read yourself?
I cannot. And
so, like, if your, God forbid, husband was cheating, you wouldn't know?
I would probably have a lot of intuition. Before my current marriage, I did have a husband that cheated on me, and I somehow always knew. But you
let it go.
That was more of a denial thing. I knew it was going on. I was 20. I was young. So
we got married young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I wised up and moved on, and that was my life path, but... Yeah.
Now, Terry, have you ever had an intuition that somebody was cheating on you?
Sure.
Did you find it out to be true?
Yep.
Okay. Now, but you don't have psychic ability.
Nope.
No. So what did you see or feel?
You just, I guess, I don't know if you put it this way, but you just get a vibe, I guess, you know, that somebody's cheating on you.
Now, what's the difference between his vibe and your psychic ability? How would you define that?
To tell you the truth, nothing, because I think we all have intuitive abilities. It's just when you start exercising them, it becomes stronger, you trust them more, you understand what it means, and you know how to relate it to other people. But I believe we all have intuitive abilities within us. It just, are you tapping into it or not? Are you using your rational mind and dismissing the things that you're saying, or are you kind of going with your gut feeling and you know, take action based on that gut feeling? So really, there is no difference between it. That's his intuitive ability kicking in. It's what he chooses to do with it.
But aren't there also, like, clues?
Well, yeah, but you have to have that intuitive ability to make you even register those clues or even know how to find them. It's almost like you just know, and then you might find things, but honestly, it starts with that gut instinct. Something leads you down that path, whether it's the universe leading you down that path, your intuition leading you down that path. It's all part of that intuitive ability kicking in.
We're talking about readings. I was wondering, do other psychics ever contact you to read them?
Absolutely. We trade services all the time. Yeah, that's a big thing.
I mean, is that kind of, I don't know if I'm using the wrong word, let me know. Is it kind of popular in your, I mean, for you guys to do that? Or?
Absolutely, because the problem is trying to read your own self. When you have an emotional investment in, like, my well-being or my husband's, you might have those gentle nudges, or you might have that intuitive instinct kick in, but to get real clarity, getting the objective opinion of someone who's not involved in your immediate situation, that makes it easier for that other person. So yes, I'll have friends that are also, you know, mediums, intuitives, that type of thing.
Do you answer the normal questions with them, like love life, you know? Like,
absolutely,
like,
okay.
I didn't know if there was any other broader spectrum of questions that they asked. Or,
really anything and everything that they want, you know. And, you know, I have an astrologer buddy, and he'll sometimes say, hey, you want to swap readings? And, you know, he'll pull an astrology chart for me, you know, and I'll read for him. It's just we all barter and trade services. It's kind of popular in the culture, at least in my little network of friends that I know.
Wow.
Now, is there a culture?
Absolutely.
What would you call it?
I look at it more like a spiritual, or sometimes people kind of blanket label it like metaphysical, that type of stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's really just anybody who's willing to think outside the box and take that in.
Now, are the vast majority of your friends in the same field as you, or, I mean...
Oh, I have all kinds of friends. Okay. Yeah, I mean, right. I'm not, I don't just, you know, stay in my...
Your own circle, you know.
I mean, I do. I think all of us have that. You have your work circle, and you have your neighbor circle, and friend circle, and they all sort of overlap. I'm not, you know, it's not like all my friends do only what I do. I know a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds.
That's good.
Yeah, and if you'd like to give us a call, 740-383-9944. It's the Pal Psychic, Lynn White, here on the program. Take your call on anything. Love life, financial future, make contact with somebody who's no longer here, or come up with anything that is on your mind. 740-383-9944. I was looking at your card here, spiritual development. Now, what is that?
Well, what that is sometimes people, they feel like they have maybe some kind of gift that they don't know what to do with. Just like talking to you about, you know, your intuition. What if you wanted to know how to develop that, or how to do something more with that?
Or like take it one step further.
Yeah, exactly. They may come to me and say, hey, you know, what would you suggest, or how would you go about doing this? And I would talk to them. I'd find out maybe what their experiences have been, what you know, they've been exposed to, or what is their belief system, like that type of thing. And then from there, I would give them some guidance into, you know, things that they can try to enhance that and how to maybe get better clarity. Something else I started doing too is once a month I'll offer just a little meetup where people can come to my shop and we talk about different things. Like last time we did a little workshop on meditation, and the time before that we did you know, how to determine, you know, what kind of abilities do we have? And because I truly believe that everybody has it, it's just, have you developed it? Have you fine-tuned it? And do you even understand it? And so, you know, once a month I just started this thing, because I do have people come to me and ask me questions all the time. And so the one I'm going to do in March is about the law of attraction. I haven't quite set my date yet. I'm kind of looking at March 16th. But yeah, if anybody's interested, I do that. And we just get together and we talk and we share ideas and collaborate. I think there's a really cool energy when you get people together that are interested in it. You know, whether it's a group of five or six or a group of 10 or whatever, you know, you get everybody that's like-minded and it just kind of pulls that energy together. It's sort of like recharging a battery, and you're all in there and talking and sharing ideas, and you realize, hey, there's other people out there, and it's just, it's kind of a nice feeling. So, yeah.
It's interesting, because I think that development would be hard for somebody who didn't have that ability.
But see, I believe we all have that ability. And I try to show people how we do. I know my first exposure to anything like this was, and granted, I didn't even know that I had that ability. I knew that I'd seen, you know, paranormal experiences and that type of stuff. But, you know, I went to a class by someone that lived near me. She was doing a workshop, and she did it weekly at the time. And that's how I got exposure to it. I went to her class, and the first thing that they did when we walked in is everybody picked a random object out of a box, and I didn't know anybody there. I was really shy. I felt really awkward. I didn't even know if I belonged there. Well, I picked out, you know, this ring, and what they did was everybody took turns, and you just held this object and said what you felt. And so you'd close your eyes, and you'd think about it. You know, how did you feel? Did your body change? Did you, you know, breathe different? Did you think anything different or anything like that? And, you know, when my turn came around and I shared what I had, you know, my heart started beating really fast. And, you know, I saw these dogs and people moving and all that. It kind of came to me like a daydream. I didn't really understand it. I didn't know what any of that meant. But what happened was, by sharing that and them explaining, you know, after you say all this and you don't even know who the ring belonged to, then the owner of the ring steps up and said, yeah, that's me. I just was chugging some coffee before I got here, and I'm getting ready to move, and I do have big dogs. And you're like, okay, I'm starting to understand how I feel and the things that I see relate to this other person and what's going on in their life. And it's baby steps, but it's working at it, and you work at it like an exercise. But it's truly just getting a basic understanding and moving forward from there. So that's what I try to share, is that basic understanding.
So you believe everybody has a little touch of it?
Absolutely.
Okay. How do you develop it to a point where you might be able to turn it into a business?
Well, one, you keep practicing at it, because it is like an exercise, and the more you do it, the easier it is. Because at least for me, I've noticed, and I've heard other people talk like this, you develop this mental dictionary where you'll see symbols and you understand what those symbols mean, or you understand how the process works because you go through it. You know, someone asked me something about relationships. Well, I'll snap to, you know, maybe when I was 6 years old and I had this event happen, so I know what the emotion feels like, and I kind of know the basis of what's going on in their life. It's like you understand how to relate what it is that you get to what it is that they have. And so through practice, and when it gets easier and you become more comfortable, you can sort of develop it into a business. Now, not everybody that practices at it does want to develop a business. And one way that it was explained to me a long time ago, and I really liked how it was explained, was everybody can sing Happy Birthday, but some people can sing it and bring you to tears because of the way that they do it. And this ability is sort of like that too. Some people can sing Happy Birthday, and some can practice at it and get really great at it, and then some just naturally bellow it out and just move you in an instant. So it's like that. I mean, you know, all of us have talents and gifts, and some are just better than others, and some are natural, and some really have to work at it. But it just is your level of what you want to do.
It's very interesting. What level do you feel you're at? Where do you think you could improve?
Honestly, I learn every day by interacting with people. I think if you find someone that says that they can't improve, I would be a little leery of them, to be honest with you, because I believe that we learn and improve. You learn through feedback. I'm not going to limit myself. I mean, I can improve. It's through practice and experiences how you learn and grow. Whether you maybe you get an image and you've interpreted it wrong, or the emotion behind it's wrong, and they tell you, you know, what it meant, and it's like then it makes sense, you know, and you keep going forward from there. But yeah, I learned by talking to people and the constant experience and exposure to it.
It's all very interesting, because do you call it supernatural?
Yeah, I believe you could call it supernatural and paranormal or metaphysical. You know, all those terms I feel are valid and accurate. Yeah.
Now, do people have to come into it? Like right now, we're in this room, and I've asked before, is there anybody floating around here? And there never really is. So do they have to come into it?
Kind of, yeah. And honestly, for me, as sort of a coping mechanism, I don't walk around tuned in all the time, if that makes sense. It's almost like if someone asks, and I'll take a second and then focus. I don't walk around just looking. I think that'd make a person crazy, you know? For me personally, anyway, it would almost be like too much noise in your head. So when you ask me, you always see me pause for a minute because I have to think and tune into it. But I believe that there's usually energies floating around everybody all the time. But as far as like a person like hovering, that comes and goes. So, yeah.
Now, is anybody ever busy on the other side? How do you spend your afterlife?
I think you just float around doing whatever it is that you want to do. You go from place to place, person to person, and you just kind of hang out. But you also have to remember, too, that in the afterlife, time there is completely different. The perspective of time there is, there really is no perspective of time. We only have a perspective of time here on Earth because it's linear. You know, we age and things go along in progression. Once you pass away, you have no gauge. It's not as if there's this linear time frame there. So to us, 100 years might be a blink of an eye to them. So when you say, what do they do? How, you know, their leisure time, I just believe you go and you do what you want. But it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm bored. I've been sitting here for 5 years. It's not like that. They don't have that concept.
It's all very fascinating. Like I said, again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you'd like to call in, you can talk to Lynn, our psychic, every Monday from 1:10 until 2 p.m. Phone lines are currently open, so you can jump in right now. Ask about love life, financial future, health. Make contact with somebody who is no longer here, 740-383-9944. Now, Terry, would you like to develop this ability?
No, I don't think so. I don't think...
No, you don't want to do anything. You don't want to ask a question. You don't want to do anything.
Well, no, I was going to ask a question. I was going to say, like, in your psychic, you know, in your profession, what kind of advice do you give to people that are just getting into that?
Well, I first talked to them about meditating, because really that is so important when you go into developing this, because part of the connection is tapping into your subconscious. And when you meditate or have quiet time or any of that, that's kind of your, I guess I want to call it a gateway, for lack of a better term, of how to make that connection. So You know, I'm always asking about meditating, and I kind of start from there. And if they do, great. And if not, I give them advice. And some people have a really hard time because, you know, their brain's always going. They don't know how to quiet the noise or that monkey mind or whatnot. You're always thinking about your grocery list, or you hear a noise outside, and you always have that. And people get really hung up into, you know, you have to sit this way and face this direction and have my hands this way. And that's really not true. You just need quiet time to yourself. You can get in your car, turn off the radio, and use that as quiet time. Or I'll tell people, stand in the shower and just stand there and think in the quiet. You know, do what's comfortable for you. Lay in your bed. And, you know, you don't have to sit a certain way. But that's kind of the first thing I tell people, to make that connection to your subconscious.
That's very interesting, because I don't know, have you ever felt in touch with your subconscious?
Boy, I'm sure in some ways. I imagine we all have. I mean, we've had, you know, just been, you know, like you said, maybe had some quiet time and just had some things that didn't seem right or something, you know, or whatever. And,
or you'll get that compulsion like, man, I need to call my sister. Well, and you don't know why.
I mean, a prime example, you know, last year my mom was telling me that a lady she worked with, that her grandson was in an accident. He passed away. But ultimately, she said something had told this lady to look at some old photo albums a week before he passed away. Of him, you know, mm-hmm. So it's very similar.
That's very similar. And that's kind of exactly that type of behavior. I mean, that's,
you know,
that's,
and you see it a lot in older folks. Like they'll see and you'll say, "Oh, your colors." I mean, like they can tell when you're sick or not. I mean, it's kind of a,
And I think that part of it is too, that's a challenge now, is we're so distracted. Everybody's either got a phone in their hand or a tablet or radio on or watching TV. Yeah. I mean, we're too plugged in. It's almost like you have to disconnect from all of that, put it away, and then get some time to yourself. I mean, that's like a huge battle now. I feel like people back in the day probably were way more in tune with who they were. You walked places. You walked to the store. You walked to school. You know. I mean, now it's just so different. So we have to really make that effort to take that time out and be alone with your thoughts.
You know, it's how much do you get tied into things that are not religious? Because I know a lot of religious people don't feel comfortable with psychics.
That is true. I mean, there's a lot of belief system there that at times can make them either not trusted, or they're scared that, you know, what are you tapping into, or what's on the other side. You know, I tell people not to be, at least with me, scared. I'm not going to do anything, and if they feel like they want to stop, they can. But
well, my thing is, to kind of piggyback on that, do you think that a lot of religious leaders and stuff, like, do they see you as a threat, maybe? Or, I mean, I don't know if that's the word.
And this is my personal belief.
You know, because they've pastored to their mm-hmm. congregation one way, and then if you talk to someone, maybe it's a little something different than what they have told, you know, and
I do.
So now they doubt the pastor, you know, and they, you know.
I think a lot of religions typically don't have people thinking for themselves necessarily. It's almost like they're told how to think, and they put all their faith and fate into God versus their own self. And I feel like when you get more in tune with yourself and more in tune with, like, your higher self and the universal consciousness and that belief system that I have, the accountability is more on you. And sometimes people don't want that accountability. So religion is an easier outlet. I think people ultimately want something to believe in, whether you go the religious route or you go the spiritual route. Either way, you want something to believe in, whether it's God or the universal consciousness or in tune with your higher self. One puts more accountability on you. One is more accountability on, oh, it's just up to fate and I can't do anything. I'll just wait and see what God hands me. And then there's people that kind of will teeter-totter back and forth and kind of have a little bit of both belief systems. I'm not out to change anybody's belief, and I'm not out to necessarily threaten anybody. I'm here to help those that seek out help from what I'm able to provide for them, I guess. I don't really call people right, wrong. I know what I feel comfortable with, but I'm not going to, like, infringe upon what they feel comfortable with.
You know, why is everybody so scared of death and public speaking?
That's just...
What's wrong with just going and laying in a box?
Yeah.
Sounds like some downtime to me.
Yeah. My dad said he used to have a guy he worked with that slept in a coffin, actually.
Really?
He slept in a coffin.
He was
just a quirky guy,
a weird
huh?
guy. Yeah, just a weird guy. He did.
No, I think...
Did it have a lid on it?
Yeah.
Did he shut it?
Yeah, he said just a weird guy.
Wow. Did he sleep good?
I don't. I didn't ask any other questions.
He was dead to the world every
yeah.
night.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a little confining. I can't imagine. You can't even turn.
I don't know.
a real coffin or a wood coffin?
No. It was a real casket.
Those are pricey.
Yeah,
why didn't he just buy a bed?
I don't know.
Coffins are pricey.
They are. They're very. You know, I mean, like you said, you're in kind of that one position. You know, I don't know if he did it just one night or if he did it all the time. Yeah, I don't know. You know, if he.
I think I get too hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
Especially if you close the lid, you'd be breathing your own breath.
Yeah.
They are airtight.
Like I say, I wish I had an answer. I don't know.
I don't think you'd sleep in there every night. Maybe you get one in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Before you die. No, I'm just kidding.
But what is the worry? I mean, what, you know, if you shut your eyes right now and keel over, you'll never know it.
No,
and that's true. I think people are, it's kind of like a lot of things. People worry more about an event than the event itself. It's, you know, whether it's people turning a certain age, it's like you ramp up, but then when it happens, it happens. Or you know, like you said, a speaking event, you might get all worked up, but then when it's over, it's like you realize it's not a big deal. I think people fear the unknown, but the reality of it is there's nothing to really fear. You're just working yourself up.
I think it's the circumstance sometimes, too.
Well, that could be. They want to know how. Is it going to be painful? Is it going to be quick? Yeah, I could see that.
Well, we hope not painful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all hope quick. Mm-hmm. In the blink of an eye.
Just lay there and sleep and never wake up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way
to... You know, people say that, but I'm not sure I would like that. Wouldn't you like to know you were going?
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you like to be in the hospital and, you know, like hear the thing flatline?
Yep.
And you know you're out.
You know you're done at that point.
See, because I don't think you die immediately. No, I don't think you do.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you think about it, you know, say your lungs stop.
Sure.
Well, you can stop breathing for like 6 minutes before there's any brain damage.
Mm.
So I don't think you do die immediately.
I gotcha.
Now, maybe brain activity, yes.
Yeah.
But like if you're, just because your eyes are shut, I don't think means that everything is.
Shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, that's a good point because I think a lot of people when they're really sick, they kind of teeter both worlds before they finally cross over.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you'll see people, especially after, you know, I had a family member in hospice, and it's like you know that they're there, but you also know that they're not there. And, you know, and talking with hospice, and they even have a really good book that has a lot of information about, you know, the signs of death and what that looks like. And they'll say that, you know, they'll start sleeping a lot, and they do. I mean, they've got it kind of down to a science. They know what to expect, so they prepare the family. And, you know, you just can tell what's, you know, that something's, that they're not just quite all there all the time. So I think they go back and forth and back and forth until they finally kind of release.
But isn't that the drugs?
No, I don't believe it is. I mean... I had a grandpa that wasn't on drugs, and he did the same thing. I mean...
On hospice?
He was not on hospice, but he still did the in-and-out thing. He started sleeping a lot, and, you know, he was just older, and his body was failing him.
Well, you know, I think people, as they get older and get into that state close to death, I think they get depressed.
Well, and here's the weird thing, too. Usually before they pass, and I've seen this twice now, they'll get this sudden spunk. Like people that haven't walked in forever, just get up and start walking. And or they'll eat a meal, and they haven't eaten like a great meal in weeks, and just out of nowhere, they'll just eat really well. And you're like, wow, that's maybe they're on the upswing, you know, or maybe they're feeling better. And it's really strange. I really think people go back and forth, and it's almost like they try to fight it, and then they don't, and then they finally just release. It's different.
It's a very strange thing, and nobody, unfortunately, has ever come back to tell us what happened.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of near-death experiences, and people talk about that. So, I mean, I always find those very interesting, and a lot of them have some similar things to share about like the light and what it felt like, but they're all completely unique too. So I actually think the dying process is probably just as unique for everyone. You know, I don't think there's like a blanket formula that you can say this is what's going to happen. It depends on, you know, your age and where you are. And
but I don't think near death is death. People say they have a near-death experience. Well, I don't think. I think death is probably different.
Different, sure, sure.
Well, I think the finality of it's different, but I think the beginning phases of a near-death experience are the beginning phases of a real death experience. You just don't. You don't. You're not committed all the way.
You think there's a lot of similarities?
I do, yeah. But those people come back, whereas people that actually do pass away, I believe they get deeper into it and their body releases.
But what about the people who come back who say there's nothing there? Have that affirms their belief that there is no afterlife.
I don't know. I can't say. I mean, I don't know how far deep they went into it. Maybe those people didn't get deep enough into it. Like, you know how when you start to fall asleep, you'll jerk yourself awake and you'll wake back up? I think some people, when they have a near-death experience, it's kind of like they fell asleep and then woke up, and some people just get on the edge of it and get jolted awake. Maybe the people that didn't feel it just didn't get into it deep enough.
I knew a lady one time, her heart stopped 3 times.
Really?
And they had to revive her with mouth-to-mouth and all that sort of, and the paddles.
Mm-hmm.
The paddles, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But, and she flatlined, but they brought her back. And that affirmed her belief that there was no afterlife, because she said you close your eyes and that was it.
Really? So she had nothing. It was just like darkness.
Just darkness.
Was she a religious lady, or was she?
I don't know that she ever was. I don't think. I mean, she was a very smart woman.
Okay.
Very smart woman.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't say. I think everybody's experience is different. I wonder if she just maybe didn't get into that deep enough. I don't know.
But nobody really knows. You know, we all can talk and have an opinion and really, but nobody really knows.
No, we'll know once, but we won't
be
able to share.
Maybe, but we'll never get to tell the story.
That's right, that's right.
We'll never get to tell the story. Well, it's kind of like time travel. You know, do you think time travel will ever happen? Well, wouldn't somebody in the future have traveled back to this time? Wouldn't we have seen them?
I don't know. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. I don't.
See, I think the human being is hardwired to believe certain things, because I think ultimately we're optimistic people.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to believe that, and maybe that's a, if you believe up to your dying day that something's going to happen, if that's what you choose to believe, I think that's good. You're an optimist, that's happy, and that probably does get you through other people's deaths a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
But if it isn't, you'll never know.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's all very interesting.
this whole thing is kind of fascinating, you know. I mean, like the
nobody talks about death. It's
right.
A taboo.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's part of the
yeah,
problem.
Yeah. You're not.
But we're all going
to
get.
Yeah. You're not allowed to bring that.
We're
up.
All
yeah.
going to get it. Mm-hmm. Like on Thanksgiving, you don't sit around and start talking about death.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Christmas, Sable.
Yeah. Where's your plot at?
Yeah.
You know, you don't get into that.
But eventually it's going to happen, whether we, you know, whether we like it or not. I mean, it's gonna
right.
You know, I interviewed somebody one time. He lived in Europe, and he said that this whole thing in this country that we have with embalming and caskets and vaults, mm-hmm. and that's all a scam. He said there's really no need for any of that. He said, you know, you can just throw somebody in the ground. It wouldn't make any difference, you know, because eventually things are going to get into that, and that's going to be the end of it.
And that's kind of my belief system, too. And cremation, I see nothing wrong with that. I mean, to me, your body's like a vehicle that's driving your soul. And once your spirit leaves that vehicle, it doesn't really matter what you do to it. Now, I'm not saying go and mutilate it, but, you know, I don't necessarily see the need for all the fancy stuff. I think that's more for the people that are left behind to get closure and to mourn. More so than the person itself. So, yeah, I kind of agree with the guy that you talked with.
I think that was fascinating, because I never really thought about it. But there probably is some closure there. But, boy, that's a lot of closure.
Yeah.
Life insurance companies make their money on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's, you know, people don't want to feel guilty. You don't want to feel like you did someone wrong. You want to respect them. You want to respect the family. So, yeah, there's this whole big thing that we do. That's kind of our custom here. But the reality is, I mean, back in the day, we didn't do all this. We didn't even have all this. So whether you know, there's Vikings that burn people and send them out on a boat. I can't think of what the right name for that is. But, I mean, there's all different kinds of traditions, and we've just developed this. But ultimately, your body is just what's left when your soul leaves. So it kind of doesn't matter as long as you've made peace with it.
Mm-hmm. You as the person, and you don't get to see anything anyway.
Yeah, right. Well, if you're hanging around, I believe that you kind of hang around, but yeah.
So you think that you see your own funeral?
I'm certain of it.
See, I don't know if I'd like that.
Well, you see everybody around. I don't know. It would be good and bad. There's a lot of emotion going on there. I know when this was weird. My oldest son, we were at my grandfather's funeral, and my oldest son didn't talk. He had what's called childhood apraxia, where it took him a long time to talk. It's a like a fine motor skill development thing. So anyway, we're at the funeral. All the family's leaving. My grandfather, he's, you know, in the casket or whatnot. Everybody's saying their final goodbyes. We were getting ready to walk out the door, and my son looks over, and he starts pointing up at the sky, and he's like, "Grandpa," and he doesn't really talk, and he was like waving. And my husband's like, "You want to go say bye to Grandpa again?" And he goes, "Grandpa," and he's like pointing up at the sky, and I wholeheartedly believe he was there.
Saw him up there.
Yeah, totally.
Huh. Yeah. Well, that's very interesting.
He's probably like 3 years old when that happened.
Does that make it easier when people die for you to
know that they're still around?
To go through it. To know that there's something, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, because it doesn't feel so final. You know, I mentally talk to people that I've known that have passed away all the time.
You've had a conversation with somebody who is dead.
In my head.
And they talk back.
Actually, I do talk out loud sometimes.
And they talk back.
Yeah, I will hear it.
Really? Like, give me an example.
Okay, so I recently lost my stepdad, and he taught me about, like, the law of attraction and all that kind of stuff. Well, there's a popular book out there called The Secret, and it deals with the law of attraction. You know, what you put out is what you bring back. And growing up, this was, like, my first... he gave me my first exposure to that type of experience, more of a spiritual type basis. Well, when he passed away, I was out in the living room, and you know, I was walking, and that book fell off the shelf. So I was like, okay. So I realized it was him doing it, and I put it back, and I'm like, "Randy, are you messing with me?" And I could hear him laughing. So it was like, you know, yes. I mean, I will make little comments, and I'll get signs back. So I do feel like there's a two-way communication.
So he was there.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But not a speaking voice.
Oh, no, I'll hear him. I'll hear him, like, laugh, or I'll hear him, you know. Yeah, absolutely. After he passed away, he was always known for giving everybody hugs. I was sitting on the couch, and I just had this feeling of, like, someone hugging me really tight to where I was, you know how you get that feeling, you're like, "Ah, get off me." And I knew it was him. And I'm like, "Randy, you right there?" And it was like you can hear him being like, "Yep." I just could hear his voice in my head.
Now, do you think you get to choose what you do once you pass over?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What would you do, Terry? Have a couple cookies and...
I don't know. I guess I've never thought about it.
One time I'm going to come to you, and it's just going to be profound. I can feel it.
I know.
It's going to happen one day.
I know. I'm just...
What would you do?
What do you mean? I mean, what... Like, would you do...
What would you
a
do?
Different occupation? I mean, what are you talking about?
It's not a job interview.
I don't know.
Would you go back to visit people? Would
sure.
you?
Sure. I mean, you would come back and I don't know.
Okay.
I don't.
Would you take notes?
Would you? What would you do? I don't know.
It's my show. I ask the questions.
I don't
questions.
Care.
I'm just. What would you do? Would you go back and visit people
sure,
and have a good time
certainly.
And leave messages and move jingle chains or something?
Yeah. I would drop stuff off the shelf and maybe hopefully not hit them in the head. But you
what
know.
Are ghosts?
Well, I think they're the same thing as spirits. It's just more of a negative term for it. I've always gotten that spirits don't really like to be called ghosts. It's kind of a negative connotation to something that's actually not negative.
Why do they always stick around houses? They don't follow their family. They stay in the house.
They might have an emotional connection to that house. Maybe something happened at that house. And sometimes it's the land, and it's not even the house itself. It could be maybe they know someone that was buried on that land or something happened on that land.
I'm audience, this is going to be a risk here. I can feel it. Would you stick on your land, Terry?
No.
No, you would leave.
No.
Okay. Well, we got.
I would move around to different different areas.
Well, we got an answer there.
Yeah.
It was good.
No.
See, more like that, and we'll be. Pretty soon we'll have complete sentences
well,
and the whole
I need
thing
to do
will be
just
working here.
Pre-write some down ahead of time.
You know? No, I don't have to pre-write. Yeah. I just it's would you stick around your land?
Yeah, no, I probably wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
No,
you'd be busy.
Yeah, I'd be following everyone else around, making their lives miserable.
Miserable. So you'd be a bad ghost.
Sure.
Can you do bad things? Do you think?
You can have a nuisance.
See, I would remember all the people that were bad to me in my life, and then I would try.
Boy, that's vindictive.
Well, I mean...
you don't want to be a vindictive ghost.
Well, it'd be a way to actually get back at him, you know.
Well, don't you want to finish that up in this life?
Nah, not necessarily.
So you get an afterlife hit list. Who would you
I'm
visit?
I'm composing it right now.
Who would
now.
You visit?
I got some people.
You got some people. Somebody who's done you wrong.
Absolutely.
You can't do that, can you?
I mean, you could, but honestly, probably by the time you pass away, that stuff's not even going to matter. You have such a different perspective, and you realize... You know, you kind of you build your own karma, and you might see the perspective of a different angle where they've lived with their consequences or of their actions. So, I don't know. I think most people, when you pass away, you kind of let that go.
Yeah. We should let it go today.
I should. But
well, that was firm.
You never
just
know.
Let it go.
You never
take a
know.
Deep breath and let it go.
There go.
Let it go. Is it gone?
It's gone.
Now it's cleared space.
That's
all
it.
Right. Thank goodness.
Onward and upward.
Had
now.
A conversion today on the pro. Those cookies just kicked
That's
in.
Right,
that's what
man.
Happened. You're having a sugar rush
Ooh.
Now.
Need
You're moving around
this,
now.
This last half of the day here.
Yeah, it's tough to get through. Again, we're chatting with the Pal Psychic, Lynn White. The email is thepalpsychic@gmail.com. Address 80 South Liberty Street, number 201, Powell, Ohio, 43065. And again, if you want to call in, you have about 5-6 minutes left here. Lynn's always a lot of fun to talk to, and all those questions are on the table, relationships, love life, contact with loved ones, or... In Terry's case, people he wants to get even with who are no longer here. We can talk about financial future. It's all on the table. 740-383-9944. So if you've been thinking about it, the last 5 minutes is the time to do it. And the phone lines are wide open. Health, 740-383-9944. If you create bad karma like he just did, what do you think could happen?
Well, I don't think that statement is going to necessarily create bad karma, but I do believe that your actions, you know, they have consequences. I think the whole universe is about balance, and, you know, karma is just part of that. And sometimes that karma is not resolved until your next lifetime. So maybe something you do now doesn't even affect you until then, but eventually it will, because everything is all about balance.
So you go into another lifetime?
Oh, eventually, absolutely. We've all been here hundreds of times.
Really?
If not that, yeah.
So you really don't get a chance to settle all your grudges because you got to go back and live another life.
You can be in the spirit realm as long as you want. It's not until you go into the light and you choose to incarnate. So maybe you stay.
Why can't I remember any past lives?
Because if you could remember all that wisdom and knowledge of every past life, how would you learn anything new? You'd be so biased.
So really, this life will end. Because in my next life, I will not remember this at all.
It'll be in your subconscious.
So it's in my subconscious right
mm-hmm.
now. So what do you think I was doing in my past life? Do you know that?
I'd have to sit and do a past life regression with you. But I've tried to work on people with doing that, yeah. And you'll remember, like, usually you get one or two lifetimes that are the most significant to where you are now. Like, maybe you had something tragic that happened and you have a phobia now and you don't know why. So you sit and you... kind of talk with that person and, you know, read them and do all that, and you're able to work through maybe something that happened to them in a previous life that's given them an irrational fear now.
Have you come up with any of your past lives?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
I think in a past life I was actually a witch and I was drowned, and that's why I'm terrified of water in this life.
Wow.
Yeah.
A witch? So, like, during the Salem witch trials?
Yes, absolutely. And when I was drowned by someone putting their hands around the back of my neck and dipping me down like that. And that's I had a reading done with someone. That's how I even was able to come up with that. I always knew I was scared of water, and I had no idea why. I mean, I never had a bad experience with it. I don't know. I just have this irrational fear of putting my face in the water. I will get in water if I can see it and stand in it. I'll float on my back, but you put my face in it and I freak out. I never knew why. And I had a lady do a reading on me, and I didn't even tell her that I had this fear. And she had said, you know, you had this ability in a previous life and you always hid from it, which I kind of hid from it a lot in this life too. You know, when I was younger, I always tried to ignore it and whatnot because I thought I had a mental illness or I didn't know what was wrong with me. So she's like, and you hid from it in that life too, but there were a lot more severe consequences. She goes, I think you were killed because of that. And I said, really? And she goes, I see this image of someone putting their hand on the back of your neck and like dipping your face in the water, and that's how you were drowned. And she goes, do you have something with that now? And I'm like, you don't even know. And so then her and I started talking. So I believe that I've had this ability in several lifetimes, but I was killed for it in a previous life. I know that was probably more than what you thought.
No, that's yeah. good. That's good. That was. I don't know, but yeah, that's. So you were a witches who have psychic power, and you were drowned.
You were called a witch just because you did have that power. Yeah. I wouldn't say
they drowned you because you had that power.
Yeah.
Not because you killed anybody or did anything.
Oh no, I wasn't like did anything to anybody. It was just the fact that when you have that ability and people find out. You know, how we were talking earlier, how it's a threat to the church. Well, it was really a threat to the church back then. I mean,
one of the parishioners might have drowned you.
I don't know who it was that did it, but I really believe that that happened, and that's why I have this water thing now.
Maybe it was a baptism that lasted a little too long.
No,
you never know.
There was something dark and eerie about it.
Yeah, and have you ever overcome that fear?
No.
No.
I cannot
still
put my face in water.
No water.
Even though I know that, she told me that I'd probably have to go through a hypnosis session and see it like a third person versus experiencing it. Because if I did like a past life and just tapped into it, it would be like reliving it. So you want to see it from a different perspective to get over it. And I haven't done that yet. But
it's interesting. Yeah. Any fears, Terry?
Boy, I mean, yeah, I just do numerous to mention.
Give me one.
I got a fear of fire. I'm really, really afraid of fire.
You see where this is going.
You know, I know.
Burned
at
the stake.
I know, but.
You might have been a house fire. Or, I mean, it could be anything. You know, maybe you just had a bad burn as a kid. I'm terrified.
You know, yeah, just every time I see it, just freaks me. I mean, you know, like you see them on TV and it just freaks me out, you know. And,
that's interesting.
I mean, and the weird thing is that my brother-in-law is a fireman, you know, and that's what's so weird about
it. No fear there.
No, he's been doing it for quite a while. I mean,
well, these are always interesting visits, and see, this is the type of fascinating stuff that we get into as we discuss what's going on. Who would have thought today we would have ended up with that?
Yeah,
but we got there.
Yeah,
but we got there. We got there through conversation. I want to thank our guest again, Lynn White, the Pal Psychic. Email thepalpsychic at gmail.com, and the address is 80 South Liberty Street, number 201 in Powell, Ohio. Telephone number 614-526-9448, and we'll do it again next Monday, 1:10 to 2 p.m. Thank you, Lynn.
All right, thank you.
You have to get her on, or if you get through her secretaries.
Her secretaries are difficult to get through. Once you get to Jay, you're okay. The secretaries are a little difficult.
It's that force field that's around.